Chairperson, thank you very much. Good morning. I'm present.
Good morning, Ms. Muwatsi.
Good morning, Chairperson, and good morning, colleagues. I'm present.
Good morning, Mr. Malamatia, Chair.
Morning, Chairperson. Morning, colleagues. I'm present.
Good morning, Chair Prince Burns Namashi.
Molo Stalo Namalungu Ndikho.
Good morning, Mr. Thring Chair.
Good morning, Chair. Morning, colleagues.
Morning, Mr. Cuthbert.
Morning, Chairperson.
Good morning, Mr. Mulder.
Goeiemôre voorsitter, goeiemôre almal.
Goeiemôre. Ms. Mutahum.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Mr. McPherson.
Good morning, I'm here.
Morning.
And we have a member of the small business, Mr. Jacobs.
Morning and welcome to our committee, Honorable Jacobs.
Morning, Chair, and thank you for having me.
Chair, those are all members currently present. I would assuming that Dr. Twark is still trying to connect, Chair.
Okay, so thank you. Can we flag the agenda for the meeting, please? Thank you. Welcome to everyone present in this meeting. Including the DTIC staff and the NLC team. And also, I see there are some board members also present in this meeting. You're welcome. Can we have apologies?
Chair, as I indicated, there's only Dr. Chwaku that's not on the platform yet. I'm assuming he's trying to connect. If there's an apology, I will indicate that to you. Thanks.
Okay, thank you so much. Can we have a move and a second for the adoption of the agenda? As flagged. Honorable Moatse.
Chairperson, I move for adoption of the agenda as flagged.
Thank you very much. Seconder.
I thought my hand is up due to this new technology. Pardon me, I have not raised my hand. I stand to second the mover on the agenda.
Okay. Thank you. So our agenda is duly adopted. So we are meeting here today, and the purpose of this briefing from the National Lotteries Commission is to engage on its financial and non-financial performance for the 2021-22 financial year. This would also include a briefing on the financial and non-financial performance for the first quarter of the 2022-23 financial year. This is so that the committee can assess the performance of the national department, which is the NLC, against its resource allocation in compliance with Section 5 of the Money Bills Amendment Procedure and Related Matters Act, number 9 of 2009. Can I just check who is leading DTIC? Is it Ms. Matomela? Because I see Mr. Khan was not confirmed for the meeting.
Chair, it would appear Ms. Matomela is leading. I don't see Mr. Khan on the platform, Chair.
Yes, I've seen that he's gone to a higher office. Ms. Matomela?
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning to the Honorable Chairperson, and good morning to all the Honorable Members. Chair, Mr. Khan is still with the GTI, but he couldn't join the meeting today. And Chairperson, as usual, we thank the Portfolio Committee for the invite and the opportunity to interact with the members on the work of the NLC. And leading the team from the NLC is the Acting Commissioner, Mr. Lionel October, and he is accompanied by his executive team. He will introduce his executive team as he presents, and I then, Chairperson, can hand over to back to you and for Mr. Lionel to then start with their presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We note that Honorable Tswaku is indicating that he has connectivity issues, but he is on the platform, so his attendance is recorded for this meeting. Over to you, Acting Commissioner Lionel October.
Good morning and thank you, Chair. We have the board present and the chair of the board, so I'll immediately hand over to the chairperson of the board, Dr. Barney Pityana. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Dr. Barney Pityana, over to you.
Good morning, Honorable Chair and members of the good morning to my colleagues in the National Lotteries Commission. Good morning to colleagues from the Department of Trade, Industry and Competition, led by Mrs. Matomela this morning, as I understand. I am joined by the members of the board of the National Lotteries Commission. Dr. Cassius Lubisi is online. Mrs. Beryl Kerr Ferguson, Mrs. Precious Mvulane. I'm a little uncertain about Mr. Willie Hofmeyer because he's not been well, so he might not be with us to join. As the acting commissioner has said, the members of the executive team who are with us. With your permission, Chair, let me just say briefly that I assumed office on the 1st of September as chairperson of the National Lotteries Commission. And the work on the integrated report 2022 had in fact been finalized by July 2022. For that reason, I will hand over to Mrs. Beryl Kerr Ferguson, who will lead the team, and I will at the end make some concluding remarks. With your permission, Chair, may I then invite Mrs. Beryl Kerr Ferguson to introduce the integrated report for 2022, which has already been circulated to the department and to members, and then take us from there. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Dr. Pityana. Ms. Ferguson?
Good morning to you, Chairperson, and members of the Portfolio Committee. Thank you for this opportunity. I'm just going to be very brief in introducing some of the aspects of where we are right now. As the Portfolio Committee knows, the NLC's mandate rests on three principles. We regulate the national lotteries as well as other lotteries, including society lotteries and sports pools. We advise the Minister of Trade, Industry and Competition on policy matters relating to the national lotteries, sports pools and other lotteries. And then, of course, we distribute a portion of the revenue from the national lotteries and sports pools to good causes through our National Lotteries Distribution Fund. NLC has a unique role in that it's the sole regulator for lotteries and sports pools in South Africa. It is also the largest grant funder in the country. And of course, our catalyst is driven by the vision of social upliftment anchored in the National Development Plan. The Chair, I'm not sure if it's on the screen, but we just have a map just showing our national footprint, and the committee can certainly see that we are national and that we have a far reach throughout our country. Just to bring forth some of our notable outcomes since the 24th of March, when we were appointed as this new board. And I really want to take this opportunity, Honorable Chairperson, to thank both the Minister and the Portfolio Committee for all the support that we have received in this undertaking. It has been challenging, but it's an important responsibility for this board. The new board, as you all well know, was appointed on the 24th of March, 2022. And given the magnitude of the fraud, the corruption, the maladministration of funds that were intended for our most vulnerable people, our immediate task as this board was to stabilize the institution, hold management accountable, and put in place measures to prevent any further acts of fraud and corruption. Insofar as regulatory matters are concerned, the Minister, on the advice of the board, concluded a two-year extension of the third National Lottery's license to May 2025. And this resulted, a very good thing, this resulted in an additional 4% in contributions to the NLDTF. This extension would effectively allow the board, in conjunction with the minister, sufficient time to conduct a thorough, open and competitive bidding process for our fourth national lottery license. And this, of course, remains a core priority for this board. Insofar as vacancies are concerned, by the end of August this year, 2022, we had received, as the board, we've received and accepted letters of resignation from top three executive managers that included the commissioner, the former COO, and the former CFO. Our focus right now, Honorable Chairperson, is on recruiting a new professional management team and the process for recruiting of the commissioner, COO, CFO, and our chief audit executive is at an advanced stage with our interviews set up to commence within the next week. Honourable Chairperson, we have also looked at actions on governance, anti-fraud and corruption. And in order to stop the leakages and prevent further acts of fraud, we placed...
Can I just ask you to indicate for us which slide you're on? So that Sheldon can follow you, because we're seeing in the chat it's very busy. Ms. Mbulani is indicating that we're not following the slides. So okay. if you as the presenter can just indicate which slide you're on.
I'm just talking through the slide after the slide that says notable outcomes since 24 March. And I'm just talking to those two slides. I don't think there's a number on the slide. I'm not sure if it's a number, but it's about the fourth slide. I'm only just talking to those two slides, Honorable Chairperson.
Okay, thank you.
If there's still a challenge, I will just try to come back again. But it's only those two slides that I am talking to.
Okay, proceed. My apologies for interrupting you.
No, thank you so much, Honorable Chairperson. So just going back to our actions on governance, anti-fraud and corruption. So in order to stop the leakages, Honorable Chairperson, and to prevent further acts of fraud, we've placed, as we had said before in this portfolio committee, we had placed a moratorium on proactive funding, as this is where most of the fraudulent activity occurred. We are currently reviewing the entire grant distribution system with a view to strengthening both the internal controls and strengthening the due diligence processes. We certainly, as this board, are committed to rooting out any abuse of the grant mandate of the NLC. With respect to restoring governance and integrity, we have adopted a policy of zero tolerance for fraud and corruption. In this regard, this board has formally adopted both the SKX report and the Auditor General's report. These reports identified a large number of financial transactions of fraud and financial misconduct in both the proactive grant system and the supply chain procurement systems. We are addressing, Honorable Chairperson and members, we are addressing all all the findings and the related recommendations emanating from these reports. And disciplinary processes have already commenced against the implicated employees. Further to that, lifestyle audits and other probity measures will be implemented for both the board and officials to ensure we maintain the highest standards of ethics and highest standards of integrity. We further terminated all irregular contracts, particularly around legal and ICT. Our acting CFO today will further brief the portfolio committee on the measures taken to implement corrective actions on the findings of the Auditor General's, particularly relating to irregular expenditure. We are, as this board, we are cooperating with all the law enforcement agencies and coordinating the efforts with the SIU and the AFU to recover assets. We hope that we are able to recover monies that can be used and utilized for uplifting of our vulnerable peoples. An anti-fraud task team was also established, and that convenes on a weekly basis. And additionally, an independent, is very important, an independent fraud hotline in collaboration with the DTIC shared services has also been established. Chairperson, in conclusion, let me reiterate that the NLC and this board remains the largest funder of good causes in the country and plays a critical role in helping and uplifting vulnerable communities. We remain committed and steadfast in restoring the integrity of the institution. Honourable Chairperson, members of the committee, with your permission, I now hand over to our Acting Commissioner, Lionel October, who will take you through the details of our annual report for 21-22 financial year, as well as the performance entity for quarter one of the 2022-23 financial year. I thank you. Thank you so much, Honourable Chairperson. Over to you, Lionel. Thank you.
Mr. October.
Thank you, Chairperson. Again, as indicated, we're presenting for the year 21 to 2022 and for the first quarter of 2022, which is April to June this year. The presentation will be done by our senior management team. I will the relevant managers, and I'll introduce them as they come in to present. But basically, there's two parts to the report. The one is the non-financial information, and then there's the financial information. And we're trying to give a balanced report because, as you know, the NLC has been seriously hollowed out, and we have faced serious challenges in two areas. The one area, as has been listed, is in proactive funding, and then they're also very, very weak supply chain management systems. The procurement function has been weakened. But the NLC does have very strong underlying strengths, and as indicated, it remains the largest development institutions in the country. So you will see then that in terms of our regulatory function, and also in terms of our broad spread of grant funding to all corners of the country, there is an impressive footprint which the lotteries has. Also, most of the problems have been confined to the previous board and then also senior management, which have mostly left the organization. But the bulk of the staff are really very talented and professional, and I think we have a good core on which to build on. So I just ask the committee to see the presentation in a balanced way, that whilst there are major challenges, there are also key underlying strengths in the organization. So just very briefly then, let me take you through the first few slides. In terms of the general overview, the 21-22 year has seen an improvement. Firstly, we've seen, you will see later, there's been improvement in the amount of finance which have been distributed, and there's also been an increase in the number of jobs you created. As part of the DTI family, we are also we have a target also of job creation, so you see there's a 34% increase in the amount of jobs created. As also indicated, the lottery, as a big regulatory function, we need to maintain the integrity of the national lottery system, and therefore we have to close down illegal lotteries. We cannot allow the lotteries to be cannibalized. We cannot, when people play the lotteries, they must know that it's a trusted institution, that they will get their winnings, and there's a fair chance for them to win. So therefore, the compliance function is very important, and here we have done some excellent work. 56 illegal lotteries were shut down, and also you will see there that there has been good monitoring and inspection of our retail network. Also, we are part of the DTIC General Collective Bargaining Forum. And as I said, as an employer, in terms of labor relations, there's been positive progress. We go to the next slide, Chair. You will then also see there that in terms of the highlights, there has been an increase in the amount of money available to the NLC. There's been almost just under 200 million was collected, and we collected a total amount of just over 1.6 billion rand, and that is we remain the largest funder of good causes and a provider of finance to charities and to sport. So there's then that increase. As I said, it's a positive improvement on the previous year, because as you know, this was still a period in which we had COVID. You also see, and this is what I mentioned, the NLC, because of its national footprints, it is has offices in all provinces. We've been able to spread the benefits to about 3,294 beneficiaries. And as I said, those beneficiaries are in the poorest communities, and it is in the deepest rural areas you will find there are NPOs and NPCs that do very a good community work. Out of the 1.6 billion, you will see that 1.2 billion was distributed for that period. Again, it does seem, and I think the board is very committed to create a very efficient organization, that cost structure is still a bit too big, and that will be part of the work. But as I said, 1.2 billion was distributed in the financial year under review. If we go to the next slide, we will then go to the performance indicators. As I indicated, this measures non-financial performance. You will see later on in the report that we're the only entity within the DTIC family of about 17 entities which received a qualified audit. So there was very clear underperformance in the area of financial performance. But in terms of non-financial performance, we measured in three areas. And as you can see, out of the 16 targets, 15 was achieved, and that gives us a 94%. So as I said, on the regulatory and compliance front, there's been good work. Secondly, there's good work in terms of the grant, let's say non-proactive funding part of it, but the grant funding system, we've also performed and met all our indicators. Chair, at this stage, we measure our success, as I said, in non-perform financial and non-financial. So we'll kick off with a non-financial, and then the acting CFO will come in to deal with the financial information. I then will hand over to Ms. Tintswalo Nkuna, and she will take us both through the regulatory compliance and the organizational compliance. And I hand over to Ms. Nkuna.
Thank you, Ms. Nkuna. Oh, you are still playing musical chairs there. Okay, you may proceed.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Good morning to yourself and to the members. I'll be starting on slide 16 on the regulatory compliance highlights on the work that was achieved for the 2021-22 financial year. There are we do have an adopted regulatory compliance model that looks at various requirements for compliance on the part of the operator, not only with the ensuring that there's maximized contributions to good causes, but also with the public value that is derived from operating the national lottery and sports pools, together with how we integrate issues of social participation through supplier development and also social responsibility initiatives that are required by the operator. In terms of our monitoring work for the period, we did continue with the regulation of lotteries and sports pools to ensure that these are conducted with the utmost integrity, with the National Lottery and with the competing products in the gambling sector as well. It's up to the role of and my mandate of NLC to ensure that we protect lottery participants, but we ensure that we derive the maximum benefit from the National Lottery and sports pools. And that was done through ticket sales that realized contributions of around 1.641 billion rand that was allocated towards funding NLC operations together with our distributions to good causes, which I will speak to later on. As part of contributions towards localization, we do monitor the licensed operator, and the license does require that they also promote localization through the procurement of local goods and services. And for the year under review, the operator managed to procure goods and services of around 906 million rand from local suppliers with different BEE ratings. There is also commission that is paid to retailers who are mainly small business owners together with the big retail chains. This commission is paid for them when they sell lottery tickets, as well as when they pay out prizes. And for the year, it was around 310 million rand that was paid as income to those retail owners. And as part of our mandate to ensure that we remain an enabling regulator for the lotteries and sports pools that we license, there are regulatory requests that come through that require board or minister approval, and we do ensure that we attend to those in a timely manner in order to continue operations and increase the revenue generation without hampering target performance on the part of the operators. And as part of in protecting lottery players, which is part of our key mandate in the Lotteries Act, there is enforcement action that is taken, as the Commissioner Acting spoke to earlier on our enforcement activities. But coupled with that, we have a role of ensuring that we continue to educate the public about the requirements of the Lotteries Act so that they are able to participate in lotteries and sports pools that are legalized, to ensure that if they do get a chance to win, they are able to be paid their prizes, but also curbing the activities around illegal lotteries as well. And as part of our innovative ways of improving our regulatory work as well, we ensure that there is efficient and effective resource utilization to ensure that we continue to achieve our regulatory mandate as highlighted through our highlights. If we can move on to the next slide, please, which is slide 17. Thank you. And as part of the enforced regulatory compliance work, there is society lotteries that we register. These are mainly fundraising activities that are conducted by nonprofit organizations. And from those fundraising activities, for the year under review, those NPOs, which were 74 in total, as we review their annual returns to validate that they actually did conduct the registered schemes in line with the approval that was granted by the NLC, and they managed to raise 54.2 million rand as part of them augmenting their funding activities without solely relying on donor funding, which is quite an improvement from the previous financial year, where due to the impact of COVID and the economic conditions that were quite tough, they only managed to raise 29.6 million rand. So we do see recovery and participation and also interest from members of the public who are the ones who are buying those tickets for fundraising activities such as raffles and competitions to be able to assist nonprofit organizations. In order to also increase the uptake of society lotteries from NLC, in order to ensure that we do assist organizations, there was a model, a fundraising model that was developed for society lotteries, which we continue to distribute, and we have compliance seminars with nonprofit organizations to make them aware of the fundraising activities that we we regulate as the NLC to ensure that they also conduct those with integrity and that there is active participation with society lotteries. It is quite challenging, but with the education and awareness, we hope that we will continue to improve that. Moving on to the next slide, please. Thank you. And just to round off on our regulatory highlights, as the commissioner spoke earlier on the enforcement action on illegal lotteries, as you would have also experienced where you would receive an SMS or an unsolicited email where it says participate in a lottery and stand a chance to win either euros or millions of dollars. And these are the type of activities that we have to monitor and investigate to find out, are they registered lottery or gambling activities which should be licensed by either NLC or the provincial licensing authority, so that we're able to maintain the integrity of the national lottery and sports pools that are regulated. And from those illegal lottery activities which we had identified and investigated, we estimated that they would have potentially raised over 77 million rand from their activities. How we go about identifying these is that we look at the cost of the tickets to be sold together with the value of the prizes. And we also engage with those illegal operators who in most cases would comply and cease their operations, either because they were not aware of the requirements of the Lotteries Act, or they did know that they are required to comply with the Lotteries Act, but they decided to try their luck with such illegal activities. As part of our regulatory activities, we also monitor promotional competitions to ensure that they are in a true sense promotional competitions in compliance with the requirements of the Consumer Protection Act, because we have also seen that there are some competitions that are run with the purpose of profit making, and these we also regulate and enforce on as part of curbing illegal lotteries and protecting lottery participants. Chairperson, if I also may be allowed to proceed with the presentation, we are on point 5 under operational outcomes. I will be presenting on grant funding on behalf of the COO acting, Mr. Nkenso Njoni. If you can move to the next slide, please, and the next slide. Yes, thank you. With regards to the grant funding operations, this is just to show an overall picture in terms of applications that we received comparatively in the last two financial years, where you would see there was an increase from financial year 21 to financial year 22, where we increased in the applications that we received for funding from 7,400 odd to just under 11,000 applications. And through the funding that we're able to make available, as I will talk to the funding budget that we had, we only managed to fund 37% of the applications we received in financial year 21, and only 30% of applications we received in financial year 22. And the amount requested in those financial years by the applicants based on the budget and the intended outcomes of their applications, they had requested 12 billion rand and 14 billion rand for the two financial years. And we only managed to fund about 10% and 9% of the entire ask that we received from the nonprofit organization, because we only had a available budget of 1.3 billion rand in financial year 21 and 1.2 billion rand. So this is quite a concern for the NLC, because there is a huge demand for funding which outstrips the available funds. Hence, as part of trying to assist NPOs, the concept of society lotteries as included in the Lotteries Act and through NLC's education and awareness to make NPOs aware of fundraising activities that can be operated by them in order to augment the funding that they require. to support their operations. And we are all aware of the economic conditions that have driven the need for social support through nonprofit organizations that serve communities. And this is evident with the volume of applications received together with the funding that was requested. Our funding focus areas are broad, as we do fund four sectors wherein we try and cater as much as possible the needs of the country based on the planning focus and the strategies aligned to the government's priorities as well. We have also seen the use of persons who we label as unauthorized agents, persons who would approach nonprofit organizations and solicit them to apply for NLDTF funding and with the promise that they would definitely be funded. So hence the increase in applications, but those also bring other challenges in terms of how those funds are subsequently made available to those organizations and whether or not those organizations have access to such funds. We can move on to the next slide, please. Thank you. With the grant funding, as you are aware, we have two application processes for grant funding. The first one, which was proactive funding for the 2021-22 financial year, the main focus was on the arts and charities sectors under proactive funding, with over 36.9 million rand allocated to arts and over 139 million rand allocated through charity organizations through proactive funding. The application-based funding, which consumes the bulk of the allocation for good causes funding in the organization, which is around 10%, the funding that was allocated to the four sectors, which is arts, they received just over 214 million rand, with 478 million rand being charities. Charities is the biggest sector, as it is legislated that they get 47% of the total budget allocation in any financial year towards that sector. There is miscellaneous, which is quite small. They only receive 2% of the allocation. And with sports, they managed to allocate around 259 million rand. And what the organization also tried to improve on, and as part of education and awareness, and also enhancing the experience of applicants, was find ways of making it easier for grant applicants to access funding. There is application forms to be completed. There's mandatory documents that have to be submitted, which come with financial records. So our offices across all the provinces, they go through education and awareness and capacity building initiatives to ensure that we inform grant applicants and prospective beneficiaries on their funding requirements so that we make it accessible for all NPOs across the country to access our funding without having to see the application process as burdensome. And this is where we are having engagements with communities at large in order to inform them of the NLC's funding for good causes. We can move on to the next slide, please. Thank you. And with the grant funding, one of the outcomes that we do measure as part of both application-based and proactive funding, wherein application-based is funding entities working for the public good, and also proactive funding, where we aim to proactively address social problems that could be existing in our communities through proactive funding. And with the funding that we have made available in the financial year under the review, there was areas that we prioritized, which was the protection of the vulnerables. That was under the charity sector, where they received over 213 million rand. And for funding towards our environmental initiatives and projects that are run at our community level, it was over 79 million rand that was made available. Early childhood development, which is part of the legacy projects that the NLC takes pride in that continue to be funded for over 200 million rand. And as part of the funding, we do record in terms of jobs that were created or retained. And for the year, there were over 12,000 jobs that were created or retained by those funded nonprofit organizations, with over 263,000 secondary beneficiaries. Now, just to highlight a few of our grant funding achievements, there are regulated turnaround times that we have to comply with, particularly with the receipt of applications and adjudication of those applications for grant funding. And we're able to adjudicate those applications within 30 days for 98% of these applications, with the outcome communicated to the applicant. And as part of NLC's contribution towards COVID-19, and to ensure that we continue to support nonprofit organizations, it is commendable of the extraordinary courage that was displayed through the Grant Funding Operations Division, wherein they did continue to ensure that there is fund distribution throughout the pandemic without slowing down on operations, and that is quite achievable. As part of the NLC's contribution towards fighting the spread of COVID-19, there were also funding that was made available to support nonprofit organization, the distribution of PPEs to communities in order to assist them with managing the risk of COVID-19. And also there were food parcels that were made available to different households. And also with the total contribution towards COVID-19 initiatives, it was over 210 million rand from grant funding that was made available towards fighting the scourge of COVID-19. If you can move on to the next slide, please. Thank you. And just to give a highlight on our monitoring and evaluation, there are site visits that were conducted for the sector, for the financial aid, based on the four sectors that we had mentioned. And the team managed to conduct over 2,900 site visits, where they would collect impact statistics that we report on jobs created or retained, together with the beneficiaries who were assisted by those nonprofit organizations that were funded. And in terms of jobs that were created, we also break it down in terms of the sectors that we have. And as you can see, the charity sector was the one that created the most jobs, followed by the arts, culture, and national heritage sector. So those are the jobs that we also measure to ensure that we do realize impact on the funding that we make. If I can just move on to the next slide. Thank you. Just to end off with the M&E highlight, and we are showing just the graph on the beneficiaries that were reached per sector through the funded initiatives for the NPOs, and that is the total broken down with the various sectors. And it is quite commendable to actually see the tangible results of the work that is done by the NPOs in the various communities. Chairperson and members, I will end there. The next presentation will be done by our Chief Financial Officer on the financial outcomes. Thank you.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and the members of the committee. I am Khanya Jack, the acting CFO of the NLC. I'm going to take you through the financial outcomes of the 2021-22 financial year, including the AG's findings on the NLC. I will start with the slide on the screen. In the 2022 financial year, we've disbursed about 1.49 billion in cash, which was a 57% increase compared to the prior year, 2021, which was severely affected by COVID, and it meant that we couldn't pay the NPO as much because there were lockdown restrictions, so some projects could not be implemented during the lockdown that we were faced with. We've seen a 10% increase in the share of ticket sales due to the recovery from COVID in the previous years. And our procurement spend to designated groups amounted to 158 million rands in support of the previously disadvantaged groups. Next slide, please. I've spoken to the share of ticket sales. Also, our operating costs in the 2022 financial year have increased by 6.6%, mainly driven by the investigations and legal fees and advertising and publicity within the NLC. Next slide, please. The next slide on audit outcomes. Chairperson, I'm gonna go through the audit outcomes for the NLC as a group, and also the for the trust fund and the participant trust. The National Lotteries Distribution Trust Fund, referred to as NLDTF, received an unqualified opinion from the Auditor General together with the National Lotteries Participant Trust, NLPT, that also received an unqualified audit opinion. And then we have the National Lotteries Commission as a group, which received a qualified opinion, as AG would have indicated in their previous engagements. We, in the current year, which is 2022, we were qualified on irregular expenditure that was amounting to 36.8 million rand. The AG had highlighted in their presentation the root causes for the qualified audit. So our presentation has been compiled in that fashion to respond to the root causes as identified by the Auditor General. So the NLC will provide their responses on what we are doing to address the shortcomings that have been identified, which will come in the next slide, Chairperson. The first audit finding relates to irregular expenditure. And in the presentation that was done by the Auditor General, there was a 68 million disclosed in the annual financial statements as our opening balance. Then in the year under review, there was an additional 36.8 million in irregular expenditure. The column on description just gives an overview of the split of the 68 million, 36 million related to media buying, and there was a 32 million relating to the ICT contract, and the 36 million in the current year relates to the legal panel tender. And the response to the findings, we've appointed an independent service provider to undertake the determination on the irregular expenditure as required by the National Treasury Framework. Treasury requires entities to undertake the determination and look at the root causes and also identify people that resulted in the irregular expenditure, and requires that action be taken against those officials. We've also undertaking a forensic investigation in some of the of the items that are part of the irregular expenditure. There was also an amount of 53,000 relating to fruitless and wasteful expenditure on interest that was charged by GEPF. This relating to one employee who was previously employed by the NLC, and because of arrangements at that time, the employee was allowed to continue to belong to GEPF. And our current arrangement now as NLC, all employees are supposed and must be part of the approved provident fund. No person is allowed to have a special arrangement as it relates to their pension fund and provident fund. Next slide, Chairperson. The other finding that was identified by AG is around the quality of the financial statements due to a slow response by management in addressing audit findings of the previous year. Our audit for 2021 was completed very late in February 2022, which affected severely in addressing the findings that were identified during that year. But as a response and working on improving the quality on our financial statements, the NLC will be preparing interim financial statements that will be audited by our internal audit, and also AG in January will start doing interim audit and start sampling from the interim financial statements that will be prepared. We are also strengthening our controls around contract management and procurement, and making sure that our SCM policies are aligned and updated with the National Treasury frameworks. And next slide, Chairperson. Another finding that was outlined in our report was around consequence management, which was the slowness by management to implement consequence management relating to the findings that would have been identified in the prior year. What NLC has done to date is that disciplinary steps have been taken against the supply chain management head, and also the results from the determination assessment that is being done by the independent service provider will also be implemented in ensuring that all officials that have been identified and affected in contributing to the irregular expenditure are disciplined accordingly. And another finding that was highlighted was a breakdown in internal controls, of which management is currently reviewing the internal controls and policies, and also addressing and implementing AGSA recommendations that were highlighted in management reports communicated by AG to the NLC. That's it from my side in terms of the financial outcomes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. As you could see, there was two parts to this presentation. The positive side with regards to compliance and grant funding. And then, as I said, some of the negative aspects with regards to the financial performance and the AGS findings. Chair, we get to the last part of the presentation then. So that completes the part with regards to the annual consolidated report. The final part deals with the first quarter performance, which is April to June of this year. And I will just hand over for this final part to Anashne Maharaj Doman to take us through there. And then we will conclude the presentation. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Ms. Maharaj.
Thank you, Commissioner. Honorable Chairperson, members of the Portfolio Committee, the DTIC leadership, NLC board members and fellow colleagues. As Commissioner mentioned, I will be taking you through the quarter one financial year 22-23 performance information. And on the slide as it appears in front of you, just a few salient highlights in terms of non-financial performance that transpired in quarter one. You would see that with regards to education and awareness, we conducted a total of 165 sessions that cover not just the grant funding mandate, but the regulatory mandate as well, that focuses largely on participant protection at the NLC. And of course, that was conducted in 5 provinces. In relation to socioeconomic development, you would see that a total of 1,789 jobs were either created or retained in quarter one, I beg your pardon, and 27 million was further distributed to both KZN and Eastern Cape in terms of the flood relief efforts from the NLC's perspective. With regards to allocations for Q1, a total of 120 million was allocated through our application-based model. Next slide, please. Thank you. Chairperson, I will now proceed to take you through the APP for the 22-23 financial year in detail, including the quarter one milestones. The NLC has 4 strategic outcomes and 3 programs. The first program is focused on administration and business support. The second program focuses on our mandate of regulation. And the third program is aimed at pinning down those targets in relation to our grant funding mandate. So with regards to the first outcome under program one of business administration and support, a professional and sustainable organization, you would see that our first output indicator talks to a future fit people strategy that has to be implemented by the end of this particular financial year. The Q1 target was subsequently achieved, and that talked specifically to the implementation framework and communications plan in relation to the Future Fit People strategy that had to be developed. Now, the Future Fit People strategy for the NLC is underpinned by 4 core principles. That is, 1, enabling a meaningful and purpose-driven organization where everybody matters. 2, focus on digital optimization, that is using technology to maximize both effectiveness and efficiency within the NLC. 3, maximizing employee time for value that only people can add. And lastly, preparing employees for current and future jobs, not only within the NLC, but also with a focus on the external environment. Moving on to indicator 1.2, that talks specifically to the NLC brand management plan. With a Q1 target in relation to that indicator, talking to the development of the brand plan for the new financial year, you would see that was also subsequently achieved. And the brand management plan talks specifically to showcasing all the good work that the NLC has undertaken with reference to all the good stories. Moving on to indicator 1.3, that talks to strategic partnerships at both national and provincial level. This is a critical target that was identified at our previous strategic planning session, wherein it was noted that the NLC undertakes legacy projects, as mentioned by Ms. Nkuna. One such example would be that of the ECDs, where we plow in substantial infrastructure. And this particular target is aimed at ensuring that those structures do not just merely become white elephants, but that we actually obtain the buy-in from significant partnerships or partners within not just a government level, but including municipal level as well, so that once the structure is up and once the NLC has taken care of the running costs, there is sustainability of those particular projects. That target for quarter one was also achieved in that the working committee was appointed and the action plan was subsequently developed. Next slide, please. Thank you very much. We then move on to the second outcome, still within program one, that talks to innovative and agile frameworks, systems, and standards that are globally competitive. With regards to indicator 2.1, percentage disbursement of grants, the related target for the entire financial year talks to a total of 90% of grants that had to be disbursed. And you would see that the correlated achievement then talks to 93% that was actually achieved in quarter one. In a nutshell, this particular target basically refers to the percentage of grants that have to be paid within a specific time frame. And this particular regulation talks to a 60 days time frame that the NLC must meet in terms of efficiency improvements. And of course, that is largely dependent on ensuring that we do receive compliant grant agreements in order to meet this particular target. We then move on to indicator 2.2 that talks to the number of enterprise supplier development or ESD programs that the NLC is aiming to implement nationally. Now, this is one of the targets wherein we've tried to ensure that we cascade into the APP as a direct result of the ministerial joint key performance indicators, which are now referred to as outcomes. So we've tried our level best to ensure the alignment thereof within our APP, and indicator 2.2 is exactly one such target. The milestone for quarter one talks to the identification of the provinces and the issuing of the call, and that was also achieved in that we will undertake implementation of this program in three provinces, namely Gauteng, Mpumalanga, and the Western Cape. And of course, as you can see in that last column, that was achieved and the ESD call for applications was issued and closed in Q2, that being the 25th of July. Indicator 2.3, a rather important indicator for the NLC with a very strong correlation to indicator 1.1, which talks to the Future Fit People strategy. We obviously cannot divorce the two because this particular target is aimed specifically at taking the NLC to new heights. I'm sure you all would agree that COVID accelerated everyone's digital plans, and of course, the spheres of government were not negated or not spared. And as a result, we've realized that we need to ensure that NLC services do reach the intended important stakeholders. And of course, this strategy is aimed at ensuring that we achieve that in a timeous and effective manner. The related milestone for quarter one was to appoint the working committee and develop the framework and the terms of reference, and that target was also subsequently achieved. Next slide, please. Thank you very much. We now move into program two, which, as I mentioned earlier, talks to the regulatory mandate. Hence, the outcome reads as safe and sustainable lotteries and sports pools. Indicator 3.1 and 3.2, I'm going to explain jointly because they are very closely interrelated, and it's a direct excerpt from the license in that it measures the National Lottery Monitoring Matrix as well as the Sports Pool Monitoring Matrix. Those two targets were subsequently achieved in quarter one. With regards to indicator 3.3, the number of regulatory activities decentralized to provinces. Once again, you would have noted earlier on in the presentation, in terms of our national footprint, we do have offices in all the regions. And again, this was a pertinent point that arose from our previous strategic planning session, in that it was deemed prudent that our provinces not only just focus on our grant funding mandate, but also incorporate our regulatory mandate to a large extent. So this signifies the kickstarting of a process wherein the regions will be capacitated to not just deal with one mandate, but also to upskill employees in terms of ensuring the regulatory mandate is also rolled out at a grassroots level. The target for Q1 looks at identifying the mainstream regulatory functions and having developed the rollout plan, and you would see that was also subsequently achieved. Indicator 3.4 then talks to the number of retailer inspections conducted nationally. Ms. Nkuna would have briefed you in detail in terms of the work that actually goes into the regulatory mandate. And with regards to retailer inspections, this is from a compliance perspective, ensuring that the unit actually undertakes these visits to ensure compliance, not just from a PlayStation point of view is those terminals that you would find outside your local Pick and Pay, your Spa and Checkers and so forth, but also to ensure that aspects such as underage play, those retailers are actually properly trained and guarded against undertaking underage play. The target for Q1 was to ensure 200 retailer inspections were conducted, and you will see a slight overachievement on that in that 231 retailer inspections were actually conducted in Q1. With regards to indicator 3.5, once again, a very critical role within our regulatory mandate, and that talks to the percentage investigations on reported and identified lottery schemes, making sure that these illegal schemes do not mushroom throughout the country. And the target for Q1 was to conduct investigations on 80% of all identified and reported lottery schemes, and that target was subsequently achieved in this particular quarter. Thank you. Next slide, please. Thank you. Chairperson, we then move into the last program, that being Program 3, that focuses on our grant funding mandate, hence the outcome that reads as a sustainable and impactful civil society sector. We kickstart with a regulation, 3A1A, which talks to percentage of applications adjudicated within 150 days. Once again, a regulation that was heralded to ensure efficiency and improvement with regards to turnaround times here at the NLC. The target reads as 90% of applications that had to be adjudicated within 150 days. And you will see that that was subsequently achieved. Indicator 4.2, another one of those targets that has a direct correlation to the ministerial joint KPIs. This one specifically talking to the district development model in terms of the transformation joint KPI that I will take you through shortly. And we've set ourselves a target of 10% of funding to ensure that at least 10% of funding is allocated to projects located in the district development model districts. And also a slight overachievement in Q1 in that 22.4% was actually allocated to projects in the DDM districts. indicator 4.3, 2,000 monitoring reports that had to be completed. This is a direct indicator with regards to our monitoring and evaluation. And the target for Q1, complete 600 monitoring reports. Once again, you would see a slight overachievement there in that 634 monitoring reports were actually completed in quarter one. The last indicator in the NLC's 2022-23 financial year APP talks to the number of capacity building programs that are implemented nationally, with a direct outcome in terms of investing in the sustainability of NLC's funded organizations, so that we don't just fund and leave, we ensure that those NPOs actually have been capacitated in terms of financial training as well as governance programs. And the target was to implement the one capacity building program, which was subsequently rolled out in the Free State province. Hence, you would note that that indicator is marked as achieved. Thank you, Chairperson. That then brings us to the end of the quarter one performance. I will then move swiftly in terms of just sharing our input made in terms of our quarter one progress against the ministerial's joint KPIs. You would see with regards to the first KPI, which is industrialization, and of course the related subsectors there being sector partnerships, localization, COVID industrial production, African and global exports, greening the economy initiatives, as well as investment initiatives. The NLC's related progress then talks to an operator spend of approximately 151 million on goods and services that was bought from 434 local suppliers for April and May of this particular financial year. And for the same period, the operator paid over 78 million in commission to retailers. Focusing then more specifically on the NLC side, approximately 13 million was awarded to projects in the following fields in relation to crafts, a total of 6.8 million, textile and design, 4.5 million, and with regards to waste management, which has a direct correlation to our greening the economy initiatives, you'll see a total of 2.2 million was awarded to projects or NPOs that had a direct objective with regards to greening the economy initiative. Next slide, please. Thank you very much. The last two joint KPIs talk to transformation and of course delivery of a capable state. And with regards to transformation, once again, you would see at a very high level, the subcategories in that area talked to BEE promotion, worker empowerment, structure of the economy, the special economic zones, township economy, the district development model included under this particular category as well. So very quickly, we once again cite the operator's BEE level is currently at a level BEE1. In addition, the TUBA bursary fund was created to support students, and 4 million was used to actually fund students. Then the on the operator side, the supply and enterprise development spend by the operator totaled 8 million for quarter one. And then zooming in specifically to the NLC, you would see that total procurement in relation to the designated groups for quarter one amounted to 18.8 million, of which 13 million was allocated to ownership by Black people, 1.5 million ownership by youth, 3 million ownership by Black women, and lastly, 51,000 allocated to companies with regards to the category ownership by Black people with disability. Chairperson, this then brings me to the last joint KPI, which talks to the delivery or building of a capable state. With regards to this particular KPI, the entire program one of the NLC's APP is dedicated to ensuring that the trajectory of the entity is towards ensuring enhanced service delivery. The digital transformation journey that commenced in quarter one is actually aimed at taking the NLC to new heights in terms of value-added services as well as efficiency gains. And of course, the last point that we'd like to make in terms of the red tape reduction project that's currently spearheaded by the CCRB of the DTIC also heralded the legislative review process, with the premise being that of streamlining the grant application process, as well as taking into consideration the aspect of enforcement powers in relation to our regulatory mandate. Thank you, Chairperson. That then brings me to the end of the presentation. I will now hand over back to Kumi.
Thanks. Thank you, Chair. Thanks to Anashni, Tinswalo, and Kanya. Malibongwe Chair. Let me then conclude with Amilcar Cabral's dictum, tell no lies, claim no easy victories. As you can see from the presentation, we do have strengths, which we will continue to build on, but we do have weaknesses, especially in the area of financial irregular expenditure and in the area of procurement. And again, those also, as laid out by the CFO, we will deal with that strictly in terms of the AG's instructions. We will carry out the recommendations and the finding of the AG. We will strictly implement all of them without fear or favor, so that we do clean up the administration, so that we can really realize all the potential of this important development institution. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. October, the acting commissioner, and your team, and also to the chairperson of the board and board members for that presentation. I now open up discussion to portfolio committee members. I'll take hands now, members. Okay, I see hands. Honorable Cuthbert. Honourable Thring, Honourable Moatse. Okay, we'll take more hands as we go along. Honourable Mbuyani. Right, we'll start with Honourable Cuthbert. And we'll take hands as we go along.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. And also, thank you for the presentation to the NLC's board and leadership this morning. I think that it's a refreshing change to actually have some openness and transparency in the way that things are being presented. I think that marks a significant change for the NLC, and we hope that this is not just a once-off deal and that it continues to operate in this fashion, because I think it's important that not only Parliament but the public are also allowed to, you know, zoom into what exactly is happening at the entity, considering the significant sums of money that they disperse on an annual basis. In saying that, Chair, I just have several questions that I would like to raise to the board as well as the commissioner, things that I don't think have necessarily been made clear yet, and I think are certainly worth investigation. The first question that I would like to ask, Chair, is there was a slide that referred to media spend, and it's something that I have put parliamentary questions in about in the past, and in receiving the responses that I did, the impression was created that the NLC, the previous NLC leadership, were buying favorable media coverage. There's also been some information that came out subsequent to that to say, you know, that certain critical stories of the NLC were actually being canned by editors of newspapers and the like. And these are very, very serious allegations. And as one would know, there's been significant sums of money that have been spent with particular newspapers. And if one had to open these newspapers, you would see that there's, you know, clearly, you know, a bias towards the NLC. And I just want to understand, is that aside from the AG's report and the investigation that's going to be done in that regard, you know, should there not be a broader investigation into actual media capture by the NLC and the fact that, you know, certain media houses were willing participants in this exercise? I think it's really important that those particular allegations are in fact tested. The second thing that I would like to ask is, I see on the Zoom meeting this morning, Ms. Sandile Brown is actually tuning in on the meeting. Now, I understand that at the time of the dissolution of the previous board, she had actually resigned due to the situation that the NLC found itself in. I just want to understand, has she been reappointed as the minister's representative to the board? And secondly, if she has not been appointed as the minister's representative to the board, who in fact has? The third question is, there was a statement that was put out approximately a month ago saying that the NLC would no longer be funding animal welfare projects. The thing is whilst I understand that, you know, the core mandate of the NLC is to actually ensure that, you know, poverty alleviation is in place, assisting people who are in need and vulnerable is an important mandate. I think there is a duty of care to sentient beings. And noting that a number of deserving charitable organizations that deal with animals were actually left out due to other people having benefited from money through hijacked NGOs and the like, is there no special consideration that could be made by the board and its leadership to see if not able to fully fund, but to give some sort of partial funding, as you know, these organizations are highly reliant on the funding that's provided by the NLC, and they're all seeing a significant gap in their balance sheets at the moment. Also considering the fiscal environment and the fact that people wouldn't necessarily be donating in the same way. So that's just a plea to the leadership to see how they are able to accommodate that particular request. Then the second last question that I'd like to ask is something else that I picked up in the past, was that there was a significant sum of money that was contained within the investment portfolio of the NLC. And it was never really clear as to what the purpose of this investment holding was and how these monies were kept, particularly what types of assets this money was invested into. And I would just like to understand if we could please get an indication of the size of that portfolio as of now. And, you know, what kind of investments are there? Also, whether or not the board would consider selling those particular properties and the like, you know, to possibly fund other kinds of, you know, charitable ventures. I'm not sure why it's necessary for a charitable, you know, developmental institution to be holding such significant sums of property. And I also believe that there wasn't necessarily much of an investigation done by the SIU into, you know, property transactions and the rest of it. And I think it's something that needs to be brought to light. The last thing that I would like to ask, Chairperson, is just how far the process of appointing a permanent commissioner is. I understand that the advert has gone out, but when are we looking at having a permanent commissioner and executive team in place? We've seen with other entities under the DTRC umbrella that for several years they've had, individuals acting in an acting capacity. And that doesn't really, provide the necessary certainty that institutions like this require. So I'd just like to understand when that particular process will be finalized and when the board envisage that they will have a fully in place executive team at the entity. Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable Thring.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, let me firstly appreciate the presentations and also note and hope that certainly the changes that we see coming through from the NLC will be positive. So, Chair, my questions, just two or three questions. We noticed that there are, and mention has been made of the illegal lotteries or companies fronting as lottery companies, such as, you know, Lotto Star. So is there a Lotto Star lottery? And what has been done in particular to regulate such activities, which includes the adverts on radio and so on, at a time where children are being taken to school by the appearance. Now, I think Mr. October mentioned that some 100% of all illegal lotteries have been investigated. Is it 100% of the target, or 100% of all illegal lotteries? But the question also with regards to these illegal lotteries is how many of these have been prosecuted, those that have been investigated? How many prosecutions have there been, and how many have actually been shut down? Now, I think secondly, Chair, there are many participants playing the lottery that are gamblers, and I actually had this experience when coming to Cape Town on Monday evening. A very irate gambler, lottery player, whatever you want to call it, he was demanding that the lottery machine where he makes his purchases be put on after it had been turned off because they were shutting, the shop was actually closing down. And clearly, there's a challenge with those who have become addicted by gambling. So what role does the NLC have in assisting those who have become vexed, seized by the addiction? We received a presentation also, obviously, prior to this by the SIU with regards to just the stark and devilish hollowing out of the NLC with syndicates operating internally. Are there now sufficient internal mechanisms that have been put in place to prevent such large-scale looting as we have seen? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Moatse.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me also welcome the presentation and the progress made by the entity. Chairperson, I heard the NLC indicating that it was conducting virtual monitoring of project. What does this entail, or what steps do the entity follow during this process? And Chairperson, in terms of the witnesses identified in terms of grant funding and the measures required to address this, has the entity developed an action plan in this regard? And if yes, what does actions to be taken, and what are the time frame for this? Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mbuyani.
Thank you very much, Chair, for the opportunity. Let me also welcome the presentation. Greetings to yourself and the leadership of the board and the acting commissioner. Chair, mine, I think, a few clarity-seeking questions. Maybe I will start with the measures that has the NLC taken to address the recommendation of the AG. And also maybe in terms of the weaknesses identified on the grant funding and the measures required to address thereof. The other one, Chair, is the illegal lottery scheme, like lottery every day, SMSs, I just want to check that, because in terms of the regulatory compliance with society, how does the NLC enforce the illegal lotteries that resulted in the 56 lotteries and also the 77 million social support? Chair, my challenge is the process of education and awareness. a program around underage, illegal, and also poverty alleviation programs around NLC. They are very much minimal. We'll encourage the NLC to go all over the provinces, not focusing on the three districts of Gauteng, Western Cape, and KZN. NLC must also understand that we have 9 provinces, and 6 of them are very much rural, and there are more and a lot of illegal gamblings around there. Chair, I just want to check also the working relationship between the NGB and the NLC in terms of their mandate and also collaboration in dealing with illegal gambling schemes vis-a-vis their joint KPIs. Chairperson, I think I'll pause there for now, but I definitely need an action plan as to how are they going to manage and monitor the audit outcome that has been raised by the SAAG. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mbuyane, Honorable Burns, Ngamashe.
Thank you very much, Chair and the Honorable Members. Let me also take the opportunity to greet the board as ably led by Professor Bani Bijan, as well as acting commissioner, our former DG, Mr. October. Chair, the first thing that I want to check is around the proactive funding policy. Yes, this policy was misused as a mechanism to siphon and or embezzle funds for personal gain. It's a matter that is now before the SIU and other security cluster institutions. We all know that. However, the thrust of that policy in terms of responsiveness to the plight of the downtrodden and deserving historically disadvantaged communities is still a necessity. So a humanitarian body like the NLC surely cannot abandon such a strategic instrument in terms of transforming the socio-economic situation of our communities. What are the measures in place to ensure that the policy is still exercised while equally prudence is the order of the day? Secondly, Chair, I would want to check the community outreach as well as the monitoring and evaluation of projects. Of course, it's a fact that people know about playing lotto. Hopefully, Honorable Cuthbert will always play every Thursday. I mean, every, is it Wednesday? Oh, yeah, but every day when lotto is played, I hope he will do that. So that we can all of us contribute to this game of numbers. What I want to check is the extent of that, or the intensity of that outreach program. I'm raising this chair because I am aware that, as Honorable Mbuyane said, we have a number of, South Africa is 9 provinces, and 8 of those provinces are largely rural, rather 7. Yeah, it's 7, with the exception of Western Cape and Gauteng. 7 of these provinces are largely rural. And you'll find that if you go to these rural communities, there are August applicants who exploit the opportunity, because it might be that there are no clear monitoring and evaluation mechanism system wherein, for instance, if you apply from Kamdobowa in Middle Drift in the province of the Eastern Cape, Professor Pijana, Inkosi yamagqunukhwebe pha, Nkosi Kama, will ensure that he or she authenticates the validity of the application, so that you don't have one simple, clever person who understands the system putting together an application, complies with all that is there, that is required. Ultimately, the person gets the funding, and only to realize that the project for which the funding was requested never took off the ground. The money has been embezzled. There is no portfolio of evidence in terms of that for which the money was applied for. So we just have to get a sense in terms of how has the lotto dealt, or what mechanism is in place on one hand, to ensure that there's outreach program about awareness. Secondly, the monitoring and evaluation of funded projects. And I can say this, Chair, without a shadow of a contradiction. Before I came to Parliament, it must have been 10 years or so ago, we were funded as the Ngqesha Palace. We had to look after national lotteries to come and witness what we considered to be a flagship. They were not there. But to look out for them, come and see how your money was spent. So That's why I'm asking this question, because I've got practical experience of what we are talking, what I'm talking about. And maybe, Chair, at that point, can we get a list of projects that have been funded? In the sense that if we say there are projects in the Eastern Cape, as an example, how many projects have been funded in Buffalo City and where in Buffalo City? How many projects have been funded in Kangala, in Mpumalanga, and where? How many projects have been funded at Vembe in Limpopo, and where are those projects? So that as part of our oversight, as members of this committee, we also have an opportunity to go and see whether indeed there's value for money. I think, Chair, the last item, I saw that when it comes to arts, I saw the proactive funding, which was about 36 million. I take it that it's arts and culture. It's a bit of a concern, Chair, because when you talk issues of arts, culture, heritage, you are talking about the soul of the nation. With what we see, the degeneration of morals in our society, the need for new methods of enculturation, innovations around that, surely we have to look at it differently in terms of how we allocate funding. I'm still looking forward, for instance, if we could get a sense that would say, with the 12 or 13 kings that you have in South Africa, are there any projects that have been funded that would be related to those institutions? Are there any projects that have been funded that would promote the writing of or rewriting of issues of history, I mean historiography, and all those aspects that are necessary in rebuilding a nation? Still looking forward to funding of projects that would talk to indigenous music, the whole value chain of indigenous knowledge systems. So those aspects remain very important in regenerating the moral fiber of a nation. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Burns Mamashe. Honorable Malamacha.
Thank you very much, Chair. Let me also follow suit, welcome the presentation. Further congratulate the newly appointed chairperson of the board. Greetings to the board. You see, there's something that is much worrying. And unfortunately, the new chairperson has just arrived. We hope we are not going to see the repeat of the 2 years, consecutive years, followed with qualified reports. And you will understand, if you find a qualified report in an institute that deals with the money, you must know that the money has disappeared. You must know there's an element of corruption, all those negative things that are not desired by the coordination. Now, the report will tell you to say we achieved 90%, 94%, 100%, but when we check the programs themselves, there are not many. The only program which I think they did well was of the 16, where 15, all of them passed. That is high number of the projects. I mean, the target that deals with the entire country, as my fellow two comrades indicated, where you find that it's only one province that benefits. But if you come with one program that is dealing with one province, then you come and say we've achieved 100%, you are not necessarily delivering as per your mandate. Instead, you are just complying in terms of coming to us and say I've delivered. It's not correct. We want to see massive projects taking place throughout the country, as requested by my fellow comrades there. The other thing, man, I don't know when it will be corrected. This thing that such entities which are seen to be entities that are to deal with poverty, to improve the life and the living conditions of the mass, you'll find that its structure is structured in a way that is about to get high salaries. People are getting high salaries left and right. At the end of the day, you are told that 3 million is gone on just salaries. You ask what have they achieved throughout those 2 years, they tell you nothing. Then why you earn so much money? So these are things that, Comrade, we must really be worried about. And the court must think of correcting them so that when we go to public, it really shows that we are very mindful of the usage of the money. Now, the clarity I will seek. Because when the newly appointed chair arrived, there were people who were waiting. They cannot say we did not perform because we had no chairperson. How far have you gone with the matter that involved the COO? Because this is the tricky that triggered the suggestion that is time and again threatening the grant itself. There was a conflict of interest, and how was it? Because it's not in the report. But it's quite clear that for a mere fact, it was detected as a conflict of interest, and it even went to threaten what's supposed to go to the masses. Then you are delaying this instead of setting an example with this kind of people whom we are saying are rotten elements within the world and must be dealt with them harshly so. The other thing will be, what kind of consequences management have you applied for non-compliance with the National Lottery Act and regulations? I think these are the things that Comrade One will need clarity on that. Other than that, thank you very much, Comrade.
Thank you very much, Honorable Malamacha. I see there are three questions from Honorable Tswaku, so I think the team NLC must just take those questions. I see some of them have been covered, but just to take those questions on board. So we have already, I think, 24 questions. I just have something very small. I just wanted to ask if we can have a breakdown of this ever-escalating legal fees, a breakdown so that we don't just say so many million was spent, but actually what was it spent on as part of the oversight of this committee. Then I think also we've seen this morning there are quite a few acting positions. So in the annual report, it is said that the positions will be filled by the end of that financial year 2021-2022. So how many of those positions have been filled? And if not, what is the plan? Can we see the timeline for those positions to be filled? Also, I wanted to ask, the report speaks about the virtual monitoring of projects. What does that entail, virtual monitoring? Does it mean you're going to send drones out, or if we can just be taken on board as far as that is concerned? Then on a more personal level, in my constituency, I've met some MPO that is doing a sort of education around the National Lotteries Commission, how to apply for funds, etc. whilst this is very useful, I wanted to know, are they contacted as NPOs, as small businesses, by the department, and what follow-up is there or evaluation of that community outreach work, and how widespread is this type of project? Because I think it can assist in getting the message out there to all marginalized and poor communities. I see Dr. Tswaku's adding to his questions. It's a growing list. I just asked the team to take those questions on board because he has connectivity problems. Over to you, Acting Commissioner, if you can just employ your team to address those questions raised by members. Thank you. Mr. October.